In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Roz Walsh, and Erin Shores as we talk about the tongue, brutal speech, and how God might actually be withholding things from you because he has to resist you because your mouth is not speaking his ways. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, in the end of my house in Glasgow. And once again, I'm joined by the delightful, gloriously anointed duo that are...
Roz Walsh.
Erin Shores.
Again, it's the Australian, the Canadian, and the Irish.
Sounds like the start of a great joke, but we will leave
it there.
It
does, doesn't it?
Somebody would come out badly at the end of that one. I don't know which one.
Yeah, we'll leave it there.
And I am drinking Throat Coat, which is an American delight. It's got something like marshmallow root in it.
All right.
But okay. As marshmallows don't grow on trees, I'm not totally sure what that is.
As long as it works.
It does work. I hope we're not being conned. Oh. I do think there is a pink flower.
It's a root, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a pink flower that is called a marshmallow plant.
I believe so.
And I know it grows well by the coast.
Okay.
So I'm assuming I'm drinking that root and... Not, it's making my tummy rumble if the microphone is marshmallow. I think it's got licorice in it as well.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
Yeah, anyway, well, it coats your vocal cords.
Full of healing and wonder. Mm-hmm. This is a mystery.
Imbibing marshmallow root and licorice.
Keep the voice going.
Yeah, keep the voice going. I love licorice.
Oh, it's amazing. But to be fair, I mean, you've just come back from 3 weeks traveling, so you've done a lot of speaking.
I preached every day.
Did you?
Four hours. Mm-hmm. The longest I think was 7 hours. I preached one day in
Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And got myself very distracted.
While
even
you're preaching?
I thought, what am I talking about? By about hour 4 or 5.
Wow. Was that from Freemasonry?
I was doing a demon busting course there. And I was doing the demon of delay. And suddenly I had a thought halfway through, I can't break the demon of delay because actually it's not a demon. God's actually actively resisting you because you want things in your life. That God doesn't want.
Wow.
And you think it's a demon of delay. And if I break the demon of delay, right, I'm going to mislead you. And so I had to go right back to a brand new teaching on how do you know that what you want is what God wants?
Oh, wow.
Because what you want is actually not what God wants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so God's resisting you because you're wanting the wrong thing for your life. So I suddenly, halfway through a deliverance prayer on the demon of delay, stopped and did a spontaneous teaching on you want the wrong things.
That's a fun one.
But more politely.
Yeah.
I think it was more polite.
Yeah.
But isn't that wild that we actually can be contending, fasting, praying, demanding, doing aggressive spiritual warfare, standing in the full armor of God. I'm breaking this thing. This thing is coming. Like Daniel had delays in scripture to his prayers for 21 days and had to get the assistance of the archangel Michael to go for war. And my prayers are delayed in the same way. God, send your archangels to release the answer. God, release the answer. Uh-huh. And God's saying, stop it, because actually you're asking for the wrong things and you've not got the wisdom to know what to ask me for. And I'm actually resisting you because you're a dafty and you're persisting years in wanting the wrong thing that I've never. And the worst thing would be God answers that prayer.
Yeah.
The worst thing would be you never grow up and say, have I asked you for the right thing?
Yeah.
And God says, I will give you the thing that you've asked me for because you've so persisted in the wrong direction. Would that not be to get the answer to the wrong prayer? Would that not be the most cataclysmically awful thing, that you move out of the perfected will of God into the lesser good will of God mm-hmm. and out of the perfect will of God, because you never had the wisdom to ask for what he actually wanted for your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a fascinating insight into the life of a prophet just then.
Yeah.
It's like you've been invited out to go do something specific. You go and halfway through, you suddenly hear God just go, no, which means you're listening at the same time that you're delivering. And then you're having to pivot, but also have something in your arsenal to go, oh, here is a teaching I already have that's actually in me that you mm-hmm. can just produce on the spot to then guide them back into the will of God. I mean, that's a fair bit of juggling there.
You better ask the audience whether... But it's interesting. And part of it came from... you know, a personal story. We will get to the topic, but see how distracted the jet lag makes us.
Yeah.
Whenever I felt the Lord said we needed a studio, I suddenly had in my mind, well, right, I need to raise £450,000, mm-hmm. you know, build a new building on the end of my house, get an architect. And the only way the studio will happen is this, 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 and this. And then my leadership coach laughed in my face, literally laughed in my face, and said, God could give you a studio in 10 different ways. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it has to happen that way? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I've got a bedroom I could convert. This is the smallest room known to man. We're all crammed in here, but it works perfectly well.
It works.
And it wasn't an architect and it wasn't a rebuild. It mm-hmm. was just, what do you already have
yeah. mm-hmm.
that you could convert? Mm-hmm. What's already in your hand that God can use? Because he didn't want it delayed and he didn't want it to cost a fortune. Mm-hmm. And that's not how he wanted people to spend their money,
yeah.
you know. And suddenly I actually said to a family in the room, tell me what you're waiting for. And they were waiting for land and finances and a whole big dream mm-hmm. that they had to do the will of God. Mm. Well, you were delaying yourself out of the will of God by thinking it had to only happen in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, Erin and I were both here painting this room, both of us getting this room ready to become a studio.
I know. Yes. So it's a you know, I love coming in here and being like, I painted the ceiling.
I painted the ceiling.
This is my work.
This is my handiwork.
it's true.
Yeah.
So Roz, you had another thought out of the book of Proverbs. We're following you in our third episode, which is brilliant. This is actually quite pointy.
Yeah.
It's quite a sharp thing you're about to say.
Yeah.
But you're going to say it with such a tender voice that we might miss it. It's quite brutal, but hit us with it.
I'm hoping the Australian accent makes it more palatable. but yeah, so basically, you know, I just believe we need wisdom for these times. And, you know, I do want to become someone who is wise. And so I went through and I mapped out every time in Proverbs it was mentioned what wise people do. I actually wrote it down and then I collated it into behaviors and fruit. And so,
of course, you collated it.
I know.
Tell me, was there a spreadsheet?
No, but there was a marking system and a ranking system and a few other things.
We need to add your notes to this.
Yes. Well, you know, we may create a worksheet out of this as well. But yeah, so we did part of the fruit previous episode. But wisdom behaviors, you know, I distilled it down to six main things. But what fascinated me was the main thing that Proverbs spoke about was being careful with your words and talking well of others. And
whoa, wisdom behavior was careful what you said about others.
Yeah. And being careful with your words just in general. And, you know, in the world of social media, we all love to type tough. and it can be brutal on the other end sometimes to receive that. And so it's fascinating to me that in this world where so much of our communication is done in this like quite brutal arena, the main thing that wisdom is guiding us in Proverbs is being careful with our talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to read Proverbs 10:19 in particular, which really makes me laugh. This is the NLT version, which says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut.
that is straight talking NLT.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's not telling us to be silent. That's not what it's telling mm-hmm. us to do. What it's telling us is to measure our words. What it's telling us is, do we need to respond to every fight that we're invited to, whether in social media or, you know, a face-to-face verbal encounter? Do we need to be allowing ourselves to be emotionally disturbed when someone says perhaps an unkind thing or even just an unwise thing? They're not even realizing mm-hmm. what they've said may negatively impact you. Mm-hmm. You know, we won't go too into it, but you mentioned earlier that there was an intro that you had where the person was very well-meaning, but you're like, you haven't really thought through what the wisdom of this is.
I was being introduced on a platform. Yeah.
Yes.
Nearly the worst introduction I've ever had.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so understanding how we steward our words, how we express our words, the impact that our words have, but most importantly, how we speak about someone else
yes.
is vital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I was contemplating this in light of a previous kind of thought that I had in regards to Esau. You know, Esau to me is someone who's very foolish, very unwise, and gives up his spiritual birthright for a bowl of stew. And I was like, can we lose our spiritual birthright if we constantly talk negatively about other people?
That was the question you posed.
Yeah. Mm. Because this isn't about salvation. This is not about salvation.
Yeah.
This is about, if I continuously talk negatively about people, can I hold the weight of what God is entrusting me to do here on earth for his kingdom? If I constantly berate and also accuse his bride, mm-hmm. his body, his children, if I'm constantly negatively talking about people mm-hmm. when they're not in the room because it makes me feel better about myself, can I still hold the weight of blessing when all my words are negative?
Mm.
And did you give an answer to that?
I actually think that you can lose your spiritual birthright if all you do is burn bridges left, right and centre. Mm.
I think I would agree. David often has a kind of one-liner because he manages and views so much of the social media mm-hmm. that comes against us. And I mean that it is the things we read are brutally unkind.
Yes.
And nobody minds something being weighed and tested. And you live in the public domain, you put things out there, you have to have a bit of robustness for a bit of comeback. Mm-hmm. But it's cursing, it's rude, it's unpleasant. And David has this one line, there's a special place in hell reserved for those who speak like that about others. That's kind of David's sort of coping line mm-hmm. because we constantly live with our jaw on the ground at my word, how on earth does your brain get to the place where you think that kind of rudeness is acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we all really, I think tenderly, there's a desire to defend truth. I would want to be kind in that. Mm-hmm. We do want to be defenders of truth, but not at the expense of somebody else's life. And so your question, can you lose birthright, spiritual weight, destiny, heft in the spirit? Can you undermine your own call? Can you invite chaos in by how you perpetually speak about others? I would say the answer is yes, because you are surely a divided house at that point
mm-hmm.
against the purposes of God, which are about building the kingdom.
Yeah.
And hugely in 1 Corinthians 5, seeing people after the Spirit is the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Erin.
Yeah. It's so much just about heart posture, I think, in that, yes, as the body, we are meant to sharpen each other. And so sometimes
iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
It's quite a heavy verse that.
It's a very heavy verse. And yeah. it is one of the verses that I have seen thrown around so carelessly in yeah. my life. And it seems that so many people pick it up and they weaponize it. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, this justifies me saying anything and speaking in whatever spirit I choose to speak in. But actually, there's such a difference between helpful conversation of, hey, you could maybe think about these things. You know, you can come, mm-hmm. you can come to people in love and in kindness and have tough conversations. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of that is going to be so different than coming in an attitude or a posture of accusation, anger, rude, just flat out rudeness at times. And I think, you know, there is a way to sharpen each other with our words that is genuinely constructive and leads to growth and gives people food for thought. And we can wrestle through challenging things, but it never needs to be done in a way that the person actually feels like you tore a strip off them or that they've been, you know, beaten up verbally.
I actually think that the best correction that we bring in the iron sharpening iron is a conversation that the person doesn't even know they're being corrected.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
That true refined strength that is iron actually sharpens somebody without them even knowing that that's what's happened to them.
Yeah. I remember when I was in university, often marking people's assignments and their work.
Yes.
You would get assignments that were not good. Yes. And they were not well done. Mm. But the goal, you were trained to teach them and correct them in a way that they didn't, that the, you know, the D that they got was softened. And you had to be very clear about explaining what it was that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And it had to be very teachable. It had to come in a very helpful, teachable way that it was something that they could grab onto and say, I didn't do that great this time, but now I feel ready and equipped to do it again. And that was the process that you were meant to go through with people. Is there's no point in slamming them with a D and, well, go figure it out yourself. Actually, you've got to give them something to grab onto and make it a learning experience, make it an opportunity for growth.
I would want to push in and around that, because clearly when you're marking a history assignment at university level, there's a pass and there is a fail. And that exists.
Yeah.
And yet I think in the kingdom of God, we think, well, I can never really, you know, God is gracious. He's slow to anger. You know, he's abounding in faithful love. That's how he describes himself when he first described himself in Exodus. You know, oh, he's slow to anger, abounding in faithful love. Oh, well, there's never going to be a failure, or there's never going to be a disqualification. Mm-hmm. And now we're not, again, for clarity, we're not talking about the loss of salvation. That's a very different sort of conversation. Mm. But there are moments where you do disqualify, or you do get an F for failure, and you don't enter into the new thing that God has for you because he is slow to anger and he is abiding in faithful love. But he does have a point where he says, I will not remain silent, or, you know, I will punish injustice, or Psalm 711, I am angry every day. Where you do hit some things where he says you cannot behave like that and expect there to not be any consequences. Mm-hmm. And I have prophesied so many times where I have thought, oh, that is such a sweet, brilliant word. I'm so glad I get to partner with you, God, in releasing this word to somebody's life. And God says, actually, Emma, it's a lovely thing you're saying, and I'm glad that you're prophesying it, but it is less than it should be. But the person will never know it. It is less than they could have, even though you think it's a sweet word, because they have brought a disqualification and they can't have the fullness because of their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, in Proverbs, it says the words of the wise bring healing. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's fascinating, you know, what if that person that you're having a go at is actually the person you're meant to build with, you know? And I'm always so conscious of, we're meant to be bringing heaven to earth. And I spend a lot of my life online. I love the digital landscape.
Yes, you see all that goes on with GPA socials.
You know? And for me, I'm like, we are meant to be revolutionaries. Yes. We are meant to be counterculture. Mm-hmm. And what if being counterculture is being ones who bring words of healing and wisdom online? What if we are not going, you're wrong, you're not Christian? No, actually, what if we are ones who shine light and love and wholeness and healing online? Mm-hmm. And we set that standard. If we're meant to bring heaven to earth, then let's be serious about that and use our words for the kingdom of God, not to destroy the things of this world for and end up playing into Satan's hands.
Mm. Yes, very good. And the sense that we have lost the art of speaking well.
Yeah.
Can mm-hmm. we say that? We yeah. have lost the art of speaking well, which is the number one measurement in Proverbs mm-hmm. of being wise. Mm-hmm. It's like nobody knows, nobody models, nobody then trains another in it because it's a lost art. Mm-hmm. And the fight to reclaim that ground is now real. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did I bless? Did I speak well? Did I find the thing that was worthy of blessing mm. in the middle of other nonsense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I just think that, you know, there are definitely many other wisdom behaviors. You know, I was looking at things like increase your knowledge and learn consistently. And obviously the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. We see that in Job. We see that in Proverbs. But the fact that, and maybe it's almost a reflection on humanity. Maybe the reason this gets mentioned so many times in Proverbs is because perhaps we're just a little bit slow in this area to learn.
Yes.
To be like, hey guys, I'm going to repeat this like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times because I know you need to hear, be careful with your lips, restrain your mouth. Speak words of blessing, speak words of life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that more than anything else in Proverbs. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then I think you said that the second wise behavior that you saw after speaking well was heed instructions. Mm-hmm. So when somebody does bring a good insight into your life and they've done it in a kindly way, jolly well listen to what they're saying. So speak well and heed instructions being the two major measurements of wisdom. So I think the question then is, when did you last change posture because of what somebody said? Or are we so enshrined in the deification of our individualism or my self-love or my self-preferences or do your own truth or be your own truth or you do you type concepts that we have lost the capability not only to speak well, but to heed instructions.
Yeah. And I think as well, do we even have people in our life that one, we allow that? That can do it. Because I think, you know, one of my favorites, so this whole thing started because I was like, I want the way of the wise. That's what I want in my life. Uh-huh. And one of the most beautiful proverbs that I know is Proverbs 13:20, which talks, walk with wise people. And, you know, I do believe at GPA, we have the privilege of walking with wise people. But we need to have wise people in our life. And then we need to choose to allow them to speak into our lives. And so one, find wise people, and then two, trust them to speak into your life. And then three, heed their instructions and counsel.
I mean, you're not dismissing the fact that hearing something, you know, hearing a correction about yourself, everyone has a little moment of, oh, that was hard to hear. And I don't know if I agree with that. And and I don't know about this. But the wisdom is to be able in your teachability to take it to the Lord and say, this has been highlighted. What do I do with this? And the ability to be malleable before the Lord, the ability to be teachable before the Lord. I genuinely think that if you can be teachable, the Lord can have you do incredible things.
Yes. And the ability to say, am I the problem here?
Yes.
Who's brave enough to say that? In this situation, am I the problem?
It's not a common thing that we tend to hear or see on social media.
I might be the problem. I might be the issue here.
I
might be standing in the way. I might have got so into my head that God wants me to do this thing in this way that I am immovable to a God who actually is saying something else. Thank goodness that God resists us on occasions. Thank goodness his grace resists us.
Yes.
And we get continual no's. And if something is not breaking through for you, come on, I'm going to talk right to you. If something is not breaking through, if you're like, oh my days, I have tried everything, maybe you're actually wanting the wrong thing to break through. Maybe God is saying, that's not a demon. That's my hand saying a hard no, because I want something different for you. And if God wants something different for you, then it is something better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I feel like I've lived long enough now to remember what I prayed for when I was, you know, 20, 21. And yes. I look at it now and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I didn't get that.
What kind of things? Are there any examples that you're brave enough to share?
I mean... So an obvious one is boys that you have a crush on.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's literally what I was going to say.
I think a big one is boys that you're like, oh, Jesus, I want to marry that boy. He's so wonderful. Yes. And I look at it now and it's, you know, they are lovely people, but I didn't have the capacity in that time mm-hmm. to really choose a partner that would be well suited to me because mm-hmm. I barely knew myself. I barely mm-hmm. knew what I needed in a partner. I barely understood the concept of marriage. I wouldn't have been able to do anything sacrificial that was required. I was way too driven with my own kind of ambitions and ideas, career ideas. I never would have been able to keep a marriage or a relationship going at that age. But you're just so captivated by this person. And actually I look at a lot of those instances and think it's a huge saving grace that nothing
God
happened.
Resisted you in mm-hmm. those things. Yes.
And he pushed me towards
I'm
other
fairly
things.
I'm sure that most of us have all prayed at one time. I would like a nice car. I would like this sort of house. Mm-hmm. We've certainly all prayed it in material directions, mm-hmm. probably mostly in error. Mm. And the sense that God wants us trustworthy with resources mm-hmm. more than he wants us wealthy with resources. Mm-hmm. And one comes before the other. And the whole sense of the showiness of wealthy Christians, not all wealthy Christians are showy, that's not what I'm saying at all, but there can be a showiness mm-hmm. that gives us a sense of like, oh, that's where I should be and that's what I should be aiming. And God actually likes modesty on occasions mm-hmm. and God likes giving, you know, more than he likes you receiving. And those prayers of scale and size and wealth often need a rethink mm-hmm. about motivation, and mm-hmm. God resists you on occasions in those mm-hmm. Situations. He often resists you in terms of the fullness of your call because you'll use it in controlling and wrong ways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the sense that not only the ability to pray for, you know, can I take instruction, but to be able to brave enough to say, God, where are you resisting me?
Yeah.
And why?
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think, you know, one of the fruit, and I found this fascinating, one of the fruit of wisdom is actually you get crowned with riches. Yeah. And when I dug into it, it was both material and intellectual and spiritual.
When you're trustworthy.
The purpose of it was not to hoard. Mm-hmm. The purpose of it, because then you could be trusted to bless others and build the kingdom of God with the riches that you have stewarded. And it's about that, almost that river. You're not, we call it a billabong in Australia, where it kind of, the water kind of stagnates and you get algae and stuff. It's about being a free flowing river of having resources flow through you because you're building the kingdom of God.
The great phrase is, if God can get resources through you, he will get resources to you. Is the phrase.
So, I've actually heard that before. Have you not? No.
Oh, okay. If he can get resources through you, he will get resources to you.
Exactly.
But if you are a dam mm-hmm. and you will hoard, then you've got some major issues of being resourced by God. Exactly. And he'll just not answer that prayer. I mean, that's the bottom line. He just won't answer that prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to anyone who is interested, I'll just quickly rattle through the top six. And this isn't a finite list. I would love for you guys watching and listening.
I'm fairly sure it's robustly comprehensive. Because if you went through every verse and Proverbs, we can trust this to be comprehensive.
I mean, people should always do their own research as well. That's just wisdom as well. But here are kind of the top six that I felt were distilled down in terms of number of times it was mentioned. Number one, fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of true wisdom. Number two, listen and get wisdom from God. Wise people take time every day to hear God. That's mentioned multiple times in Proverbs. Number three, increase knowledge and learn constantly. The pursuit of knowledge to then apply it to become wisdom is a vital thing. Number four, be careful with your words and speak well of others. Number five, heed instructions and counsel. And number six, and this is my favorite, walk with wise people. And then you see the fruit of peace and strength and joy and happiness and even sometimes resources if you can be trusted to have it go through you.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. And may you have wisdom to tame your tongue and wisdom to heed instruction and to go back and review where God may be resisting you. And maybe you've blown up your future by cruel words. This is a time to go and deal with that really stringently with God and ask God to speak to you afresh, that you might understand why some blockages are in your life. So I bless you on this journey and thank you for your company for today. And we will see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.